In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, I titled the word, "What Doest Thou Here? What Doest Thou Here?" I'd like to say that all worldly things are show. Nothing solid. And they'll all be quickly gone. And the older you get, the more that you're going to know that. So if you turn to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, the first four verses. "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he'd slain all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, 'So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time.' And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there." Now, I believe that if you've never felt such as Elijah, that you're not in the battle. And I couldn't be more serious about that. Samson was in such battles, Job, Elijah, David. In the New Testament, Paul, Peter, the apostles, disciples, John the Baptist, all at one time or another, wearied of their life on this earth. But I've met so very few men, probably I don't know that I could count on one hand, the men that I've met that have wearied of their life on this earth. And so I ask you, how can a true child of God not do that? Not at some point in his life that's in this battle, not weary of his time on earth. Elijah did. He was a big, strong, brave man. He killed 450 prophets of Baal with a sword. Do we not seek a home that's not of this earth? I mean, we religiously say, but we don't. The Bible says, "For here on this earth, we have no continuing city." Do you ever read it? "But we seek one to come," Hebrews 13:14. We don't have a city here. We're seeking something somewhere else, but I don't see that. I don't see it amongst us. I don't see it amongst the so-called witnessing church people. I don't see it amongst anyone. We sing the song, "This world's not my home," but we cling to it with all our might. I believe that, you know, the heathen, they get vaccinated and they wear masks. A fellow told me yesterday, we were talking about, he said, "There's still folks wearing masks." He said, I said, "I've seen folks driving down the road in their car by themselves with a mask on." He said, "I've got one better." He said, "I saw a fellow riding a Harley with a mask on, no helmet." You see, they want to live at all costs. That's fine, but that shouldn't be our vent, you see. Christ gave his life, and that's what he did. He said nobody took it from him. He said, "I gave it." Do you think about that? And then you think about all the things that man does today to live. Man, far more than in my lifetime. Airbags, helmets, vaccines, health checks, diet, fitness, almost every article, advertisement, commercial, billboard, all towards one goal. Living here on this earth, long life. Live at any cost. Life. Do I have a death wish? No. Have there been times that I thought it better? Now listen, have there been times that I thought it better to die than live? You think about that. Because my answer is yes. And I believe if some of you reach an older age, an infirm age, you might think about those things. Did I kill myself? No. You see, God has a time for me. That's not my responsibility to take my own life. It's going to be taken. You see, God has a time. He's got a time for you also. I won't be early. I won't be late. Hezekiah, he prayed his way to 15 extra years. It cost terribly. We've all of us in this ministry, anyway, I've ministered in nursing homes for over 30 years. We've all been in nursing homes, what we call nursing homes, convalescent care, many, many times. Quality of life? Do you really want to live just to be alive? When in Christ we're promised a better mansion. We've got the promise from God in Philippians 3, verse 21. He said, "Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body?" Wow. Man, I'm going to tell you something. You get in my condition and age, that's a really good deal. It's a good deal at your condition and age, but you may not see it. He's going to change this vile body, this dying body. And it's going to be like his glorious body. Remember when he came back, when he arose, he said, "Don't touch me yet." He was waiting on his glorious body. I'm going to tell you something. You get older and more infirm, you'll pray for such. Like unto his glorious body. And that's what I'll get. Well, how marvelous is that? Man, I can tell you there are days that I'm hungry for it. I have a desire, as Paul said, I have a desire to leave here. A desire. This body is racked in pain because of sin. You see? Because of Adam, it's going to die and it's going to stink. Now you can miss me when I'm gone, but you don't miss the body. I read an interesting article. I guess they made a movie about Elvis Presley. And I'm really more interested in Colonel Tom Parker than Elvis Presley, if you know anything about that. And Colonel Tom Parker, when Elvis died, he said, "Oh no," he said, "only his body's gone." I think he made more money when Elvis died than when he was alive. Only the body's gone, you see. Don't miss this body. My young bride, almost 60. And now she's going through dental work. Root canal. Well, I had root canals at the same age. That's coming for some of you. You say, "I'm hanging on." But not for dear life. Because my dear life is not here. It's yet to come. How long did the Lord stay? 33 years. Most of you are approaching that, or most of you are older than that. And so the point of all this that we're speaking is faith. I preached a funeral service, a memorial service Friday. And that's what I preached on, was faith. The very definition of faith. And that very definition of faith exalts life beyond this earthly existence. That's what your faith is for. We don't use it right. Times of sorrow and times of death. That's the only time I ever see a witness of faith. My God, somebody has to die or get sick, and then all of a sudden everybody becomes religious. It shouldn't be that way. You see, true faith carries us beyond such. Because when we lose a loved one, we're not as those without Christ. We're actually in Christ. How often do those that profess Christ act as though they really don't even have eternal life? You've got to give that some thought. You know, 1 Corinthians 15:19 said, if in this life only we have hope. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're what? Of all men, most miserable. I think it's why so-called God's people are miserable all the time. They only have hope in this life, and they're looking for Christ for this, and they're looking for Christ for that. But they're never looking for him in the life to come. And you should ponder that every single day of your life on this earth. I think we've become too carnal in our faith, our hope. It's earthly, sensual, carnal. You know, David lost a child. He lost a baby. And when that baby died, he girded his loins like a man and said, but now he's dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? He said, I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Now, while the baby was sick, David mourned. He fasted, prayed. And that's when we should mourn. Is it perhaps we don't have enough faith that the deceased is in Christ? Or that we ourselves are in Christ, you see? Just reading the news of the day is enough to mourn. We've still got our, man, look at the news today. We've got our share of Jezebels. They're all over the streets today. The Ahabs, they're everywhere. Do we not grow weary? You see, this life of sin is hard. It reminds me today, you look at the news, the verse comes back to me in Genesis of Lot being surrounded, remember? In Sodom, and they're banging on the door, I had a sort of nightmare last night. Not like you might think. I mean, if I dreamt of monsters or whatever, that's no big deal to me. I dream about that stuff all the time. That's just every night stuff. But I woke up with a small terror in one of my sections of sleep last night. I was disconcerted because what had happened is I was in the presence of a couple young people. And I was telling these young people about how marvelous it was that they had overturned this Roe versus Wade. And that now, you know, maybe we'll do something about the sodomites and the effeminate. And I'm rejoicing and I've got this joy. And I look at them and a terror came upon me because I realized that they didn't share my joy at all. Not that some monster was trying to get into my room, but they're all about us. They surround us. God impressed me this message, I think I've had it some weeks back. And as he does, he impressed me to go back and read a particular message preached in the 1830s by J.C. Philpott. I'd read this message many years ago. It's called Winter Afore Harvest. But how much more poignant that message was to me at this juncture in my life than at the early age in which I'd previously read. It had an entirely new meaning for me. And that's one reason why it seems as if the Bible's ever changing. Because it's not changing, but I'm changing. Because the seasons of life change. Elijah, he'd slain 450 prophets of Baal. But what a difference a day makes. Now he's running from Jezebel. And if you don't believe what a difference a day makes, just get old. Good days, bad days. I woke up Friday morning 2 days ago, and God knows, I thought surely a truck must have ran over me from the time I went to sleep to the time I got up. A truck ran over me and I didn't know it. It was horrible. And then yesterday morning, 24 hours later, I wake up and I thought, I must have received the glorious body. This can't possibly be the same body that I had the day before. Folks, I'm not making this stuff up. That amazing transition, good days, bad days. Strength, just to live out the day. The very rest itself becomes a great blessing. I'd asked a while back a friend and a neighbor of mine who'd undergone a recent medical procedure how he slept, and he said, I slept like a baby. He's in age like me. He said, I slept like a baby, up every 2 hours. That's how baby. Did you know, I've started monitoring my sleep. Like last night I had 3 sessions, and that's pretty normal for me. 2, 2, and 2. I sleep a couple hours and I wake and then I get up and then I go back to sleep a couple hours and then go back. So maybe I could start a service and take care of little babies at night, because they have to do that all the time. The parents could sleep and I'd get paid to take care of the babies. I get up every 2 hours anyway. You see, sleep like a baby, up every 2 hours. One day the only rest I'll find will be in death. I'll close my eyes in death. But I'd say, mourn not, but rejoice in my new glorious body, fashioned like our glorious Lord. That rest, glorious rest. Any wonder, you know, that they put rest in peace on tombstones. Amen. Rest for the weary. Oh, you're not weary? Well, isn't that where we started? I'm going to tell you something. If you're not weary, it's because you're not in this battle. And that's my fear. You're not in this battle. The Bible says Elijah, he lay and slept under a juniper tree. Remember, an angel came in and took care of him. The great, one of my heroes in this life, Stonewall Jackson, his final words, May 10th, 1863, his last words, let us cross over the river and rest under the shade of the trees. That probably doesn't mean, it means a great deal. Man, I look out and I said, man, what, let me just, this day, let me cross over the river and just rest under the shade of the trees. You know that angel that spoke to Elijah, he said, the journey is too great for thee. The journey is too great for thee. Verse 7 in our text, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. True words have never been spoken. If you're in the battle, you see, if you're in the battle, because the journey is too great for thee, if you're in the battle. How sad it is for me that so many don't realize that. They're yet strong and proud, and they've got no need of the Lord until sickness and these things come about. Cancer and whatever. Most, with most, it's cancer today. Oh, now we need the Lord. Yeah. Well, if you get in the battle, you need him every day, you see, like the prodigal. How many I've known who profess Christ that have never come to themselves? And so here's Elijah, one of the greatest prophets of God that ever lived. He called fire from heaven. He's running from Jezebel. Killed 450 prophets of Baal, and he's running from Jezebel. He was weary. He was weary of his very life on this earth. He wanted to, he said, Lord, just let me die. I'm done. I'm weary. The journey became too much for him. While most that profess Christ live fat, dumb, and happy, all because they base that happiness not on the life to come, but on worldly health and goods. In verse 10 of our text, then he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Have you ever felt that way? God knows I have. Maybe this morning. You should. You can't be in this battle and not run across that. You compare that with those that profess Christ this day. We've got electricity and air conditioning, heat, food, clothing, shelter, transportation, health care. Modern, just push a button and they'll bring the groceries right to your house. And we cry, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. All the while, Jesus said in the third chapter of the book of Revelation, not knowing that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Melissa, at ease in Zion. Now let me say as I began, if you've never felt such as Elijah, you've never entered the battle. In closing, if you would, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23 down through verse 31. Paul said, Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I'm more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, perils of robbers, perils by the heathen, and perils in the city, and perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, amen, brother Paul. In weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, fastings often, in cold, nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who's offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of all the thing which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, know that I lieth not. Any wonder we don't sing Onward Christian Soldiers? Or know experimentally of the need and necessity for the armor of God spoken of in Ephesians chapter 6. Maybe we should inspect the battle swords at this hour, this morning. like to see your battle sword, all your armor, bright, shiny, and new. Preached that many years ago. Still hanging, unused. Have you never heard the still, small voice of the Lord? You remember in our text, and Elijah goes out, and the earthquake, and the storm, but God wasn't in any of that. Do you remember? Let's go back. Go back to our text. First Kings 19. Verse 9 through 13, and he came thither unto a cave, and he lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, we read that, and slain the prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life, take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passeth by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Amen. Amen. How glorious. I might ask the same of you this morning. What doest thou here? What doest thou here? I hope that'll stick with you. Not just for the next few minutes or all day, but from now on. Most of you are going to live way past me. What doest thou here? We ask these, what are you up to, boy? Way I like it. What doest thou here? You say, do you know?